women. This is an article written by political prisoner and people's lawyer, Lynn Stewart, from Carswell Federal Medical Center. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal. When one is asked to give a short reflection on a big topic, it is difficult to figure out what is most important. When the topic is women and the listeners are very savvy politically, it is really tough. Back in the late 60s, when I was part of a consciousness-raising group, ours was mainly an issue of being able to assert oneself in a world that we had been taught was naturally and rightly male-dominated. All of the women in this group were from the struggles for community control of schools on the Lower East Side, and we were a seasoned and, we thought, tough crew. Later, you would have thought from the tears that flowed at these meetings that we were from the DAR, or Junior League, Girly Girls. Because, you see, we found the commonality of our experiences. Incidents we thought were personal, decisions made from our worst motivations, participation in soul-destroying training by the patriarchy, and many more made us understand that there were plans afoot. If we shared so much negative brainwashing, what was it all about? We realized that, of course, it made life easier for the oppressor, both as an individual and societal, but that it wasn't what we were willing to settle for. Our bond strengthened, and we were all better able to cope and confront with what was then called sexism, as it affected us personally. What was not so obvious in those days was that not only were we going to have to re-educate our partners and our comrades in the struggle, we had unmasked the ugly underpinning of the personal and reveled its societal origins. We not only had to deal with men who were near, dear, and basically sympathetic, we were going to have to deal with generations of men preceding old goats and Pharisees. My dear partner, Ralph Poynter, has remarked many times that all of the religions, ancient and modern, have as their goal old men controlling young women. It is manifesting itself in our time with great immediacy through the campaigns to eliminate or limit reproductive rights, decisions that are so very personal, they believe they have the right to make for us. Bully boy tactics, must inform the parents, must watch an ultrasound, must wait 24 hours. The very tactics they use show their misogyny and view that we women are all children in need of paternal guidance. We cannot make decisions. We don't know what we're doing. The patriarchy will make them for us. Another aspect of this abortion debate, and one that has been part of it forever, is the very immediate question of exactly what these guys, who want above all for us to reproduce, are prepared to offer that child. Back in those days of consciousness raising, one of our true sheroes was a black woman lawyer named Flo Kennedy. She queried in her usual acerbic tone, "Where are all these friends of the fetus after babies are born? Are there better schools, better health care, more safe housing?" No, of course not. And this reveals the underlying perverse motivation is not to bring forth beloved babies. It is to make sure that the mothers, women, accept a certain bondage while providing and dedicating themselves to those children. The worst terror is not being able to provide and shelter these little ones from the evils of the consummate corporate society. And the same men that howl for abortion rights to be eliminated do not provide one iota, not a drip from a dab of real help to mothers financial or otherwise for these newborn fetuses. When any topic surrounding women is scratched, the ugly patriarchal controls are revealed. How about the military? Once your daughter out there killing third world people for an imperial U.S. greed that has never been matched, even worse than becoming a Condoleezza Rice or Sarah Palin, is what women in the service are subjected to by their fellow officers, soldiers, and superiors. Yes, I mean rapes, sexual assaults, improper touching of all kinds, bullying, and ultimately murder. This is documented. And the loneliness, self-hate, and despair of these young women make this one of our highest feminist priorities. Our movement must be dedicated to the end of the wars that make these women into cannon fodder, throwaways, and to building awareness every day in every way that these atrocities to women cannot be tolerated. Not from a superior officer, not from a boss, professor, doctor, prison guard, teacher, not from the guy who loved you and married you. Consent, a basic human right, must be respected. Romantic love is used to distract us. Hello. Falling in love isn't the reason women were created. We were created to fight back and to join others like-minded and to fight together for a society of equality on every level. Well, you can't say I didn't warn you that this is a big topic and one that naturally gets me riled up. Before I finish, I must say a word about women in prison. Of course, it is a microcosm of the control exercised in the real world. Guards with arbitrary authority in charge of hundreds of women who are docile for the most part. Some are victims of the war on drugs and are suffering 10, 20, 30 years of prison, usually due, again, to bad choices of love and loyalty. Also, we all suffer a tremendous level of disrespect here, and sympathy is non-existent for the most part. All that basically protects us is other women, roommates, friends, who will speak out if there is a medical problem. Unfortunately, many of the women are from a lower stratum and are used to being ignored or stonewalled. Even I, a mouthy New Yorker with lawyer connections and a tremendous supporter base, thank you, have been waiting since October for surgery. Could it be my age? Could it be that this is just a woman thing? I always assume the worst while I'm still in this patriarchy. It also brings to mind when I was first arrested, that a friend shouted at me, "If you don't think you're singled out as a woman, you are crazy." Enough said. To finish this rambling, I want to say that the problems confronting women as women are as various and serious as those confronting the movement as a whole, and that we can never forget our loyalty to both causes. We are dedicated to changing the world, and resolving the woman question is still prime on the agenda. Without that resolution, we are only moving the shells in a shell game. Change must be fundamental from the root and reorder of the so-called society as a whole. You've been listening to the words of political prisoner and people's lawyer, Lynn Stewart, from Carswell Federal Medical Center. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.